Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
What's going on this Friday? Fourth and final hour. It's the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios, who understands that it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Still time to jump on board on this Friday at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Whatever's on your mind, well, we have an open door policy on this fourth and final hour on a Friday at Zach Gelb on Twitter as well. But without further ado, it's time to play a little game that I like to call Onsides and Offsides. Tom DiBenedetto, please hit the music.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Mikey B. First up, how you doing on this Friday? Good?
I'm doing great, Zach. How are you?
A little birdie tells me.
Uh-oh.
A little sauce tells me.
Okay.
That there is a social media world that's colliding tomorrow. Two giants in the social media world. Mikey B, a.k.a. Mike Delivers, the Uber Eats driver yourself, and also the producer of the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, and Frank the Tank are doing a little collaboration, and you guys going to be ordering a little Uber Eats.
Yeah, partially true. It'll actually be on Sunday.
Oh, Sunday, not Saturday.
But yeah, we are going to collaborate in the Uber Eats world, and we'll see where it takes us.
And you're going to his house?
Yes.
Are you ordering? Is he ordering the food and you're picking it up, or you're ordering the food together?
Ordering the food together, and then we'll document the experience as we wait for the order.
We need some good video of this.
Yeah, I actually have an intern coming with me, helping me out.
You have an intern?
Well,
now?
Not an intern. A sidekick.
Who's your sidekick?
Anthony Pierno's coming to help me out.
AP, wait.
Don't let him hear this audio. This will not be posted in the podcast.
AP is now an intern?
I was just being silly when I said that. He's a sidekick associate, and I'm paying him with lunch.
By the way, if you miss any of the show, you could rewind on the radio.com application. So, Anthony Pierno, if you just tuned in, rewind about 30 seconds where Mikey B calls you an intern. How the mighty have fallen for Anthony Pierno. 2 weeks ago, he's taking shots at Sean Mraz, ripping him left and right, getting praise on our morning show with Damon Amendolara and with the DA show, which is fantastic, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern here on CBS Sports Radio. And he goes from that one shining moment, his 15 seconds of fame, to now being Mikey B's intern.
He knows I'm joking around.
Don't
and
hit
it's
him
a big
with the
job.
Baseball bat, okay?
It's a big job.
Going back to yesterday's conversation where I found out that Mikey B once got hit with the baseball bat by someone here at CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, that was that sucked. And it hurt a lot. But you know what? It made me a better person long term, and everything worked out.
Lawsuit's coming. Or that's probably past the statute of limitations.
Yeah, probably has. So who knows?
Maybe you will Uber Eats deliver a little subpoena for that person. Surprise! You just been served.
No tip with that one. That's for sure.
All right, what do you got?
All right, last week the NBA announced that 8 finalists for the Basketball Hall of Fame. Not on that list, former Heat and Raptors star Chris Bosh. Bosh is one of 13 players in NBA history to average 19.2 points and 8.5 rebounds per game in a career that included 11 All-Star selections. Bosh also has 2 NBA championships that he earned while teaming up with Mr. LeBron James. Onside or offsides, Chris Bosh is a Basketball Hall of Famer.
So it's not an NBA Hall of Famer, because remember, it's a Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. So, yeah, he's 11-time All-Star, 2-time NBA champion. He won a gold medal back in 2008. That seems like a great career to me. The Basketball Hall of Fame, I always have problems with it because guys get in that I go, you probably shouldn't get in. But for Chris Bosh, over 17,000 points, close to 8,000 rebounds. Probably could have played an extra year or two. Remember, he had the heart condition and all that. So we hope he's doing well. But had a very nice career in Toronto and then won championships with the Heat. 11-time All-Star, you're getting into the Hall of Fame. So on sides, Chris Bosh is a basketball Hall of Famer.
All right, the NHL trade deadline is Monday, and most teams have played typically 75% of their games. The NBA trade deadline was back on February 6th, when the teams had played about 50% of their games. Onside or offsides, the NBA should adopt the NHL model and play 75% of their regular season before the deadline.
Well, they changed their old format because too many guys were going to the All-Star game, and then they would have to deal with questions. Was it Anthony Davis, right? No, who was the player that got
Boogie
traded?
Boogie Cousins,
that's right. When he got dealt, and he found out speaking to the media right after the All-Star game, so they pushed it up before the All-Star game. I think the NBA, it's fine as it is. I think the NHL is fine as it is. I don't think you need to change things any further. I don't sit there and say, wow, I wish my team could have made an extra trade this week or something along those lines. So I think the system's fine. I'll go offsides on that one.
Offside.
Tua Tagovailoa revealed to the NFL Network.
Say that one more time.
Tua T.
As people in the know call him.
Tua T.
How do you think you say his last name?
Tua Tagovailoa. Am I saying it wrong?
Tua Tagovailoa.
Tua Tagovailoa.
And a lot of people tell me, you're not saying it right. It's not Tagovailoa. I've interviewed him before. I've asked him how to pronounce his name. I've heard him say his name before. It's Tua Tagovailoa.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Still not right.
I'm having a hard time
you're
with that
You're closer to ravioli than Tua Tagovailoa.
Tua ravioli. Tua T revealed to the NFL Network that his ideal scenario entering the NFL would be playing for a team that he grew up loving, saying, quote, if you're saying to me I can choose what team I want to play on, as far as my favorite team growing up, then I'm probably telling you the Cowboys. Onside or offside, the Cowboys should draft Tua and move on from Dak.
Everyone's making a big deal about this. I heard the audio with the interview with Steve Wyche. They said, if you could go anywhere, who would you go to? He picked the Cowboys. The kid grew up as a Cowboys fan. And then he even went on to say, I would love to learn and sit behind Dak and all of that. And he brought it up that he would be okay wherever he goes to sit behind someone and then play the next year and get his body healthy. But for the Cowboys, you have other needs. Your quarterback position, it's fine right now. Extend Dak Prescott. And I love Tua. I do. But they don't need to draft Tua and move on from Dak. Go help your team out in other ways. Offsides.
Offside.
Next one.
The 2018-2019 Raptors finished the regular season 58-24 with the second best record in the East. The team from the North would end up defeating the Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals and then a depleted Warriors team to capture the franchise's first ever title. They did this, of course, with Kawhi Leonard. So far this year, with no Kawhi, Toronto has been on fire with a 40-15 record, which is again good for second best in the East. Onside or offsides, Nick Nurse is doing a better job coaching this year as opposed to last year.
Onsides. I know he won a championship last year. I know they did a very good job even when Kawhi was out for load management. But you have a team that has the second best record right now in the Eastern Conference. You have a team that lost their star player and has very good players. You know, Pascal Siakam, very good. Taking a big step. Fred VanVleet, good. Has taken that step. Kyle Lowry's already, has always been a consistent player for them. But what they're doing right now, the fact that at one point they won 15 games in a row is mind-boggling. And to see this team be at 40-15 without Kawhi Leonard, it's ridiculous. At best, what did you think they were going into the season, Mikey B? Probably what? Seventh or eighth seed?
I had them 6-7, yep.
They're now number two at 40-15. They only lost 15 games this year. And last year, Nick Nurse did a very good job. They won a championship, and also the team performed in an excellent fashion even when Kawhi was out. But we didn't give him that proper credit because of Kawhi and the player Kawhi is and the way that we view Kawhi. Now without Kawhi, he's getting that credit. So this is a better coaching job because he doesn't have Kawhi Leonard. So as crazy that seems, championship but no championship, it's a better coaching job and it's a better reflection on Nick Nurse, regardless how this ends this year. So onsides.
Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury are ready to battle once again. They will rematch tomorrow night in Las Vegas. Party at Zach's house. Looking forward to it. And after weeks of buildup, this might be the biggest fight of the year. They're ready to settle the score. Onsides or offsides, Tyson Fury will be victorious Saturday night.
See, Ray Boom Boom Mancini, who joined us earlier, was so confident, and he really knows the sport. He's a former boxer. And he was so confident that Deontay Wilder was going to win. Jerry Cooney was on with us earlier this week. Very confident that Deontay Wilder is going to win. Our resident boxing expert, Greg Giannotti, formerly of Gio and Jones, the old morning show on CBS Sports Radio, one of like the eight morning shows that they've had on this network, now the superstar in CBS Sports Network with Boomer Esiason, the Boomer and Gio show. He is going to Las Vegas. I did not know. I just thought this like radio shtick when Gio had said he's friendly with Deontay Wilder. He's going to the fight. He always goes to this fight. No invite from Gio. We'll maybe get him on next week and smack him around and tell us that I could fit in his suitcase and he could take us to Las Vegas. He probably flies a private plane anyway, Giannotti, these days. But I would imagine Gio is even very confident that Deontay Wilder is winning because, according to Gio, that's his guy in Deontay Wilder. See, my head is telling me to go with Deontay Wilder. I really don't know a great amount about boxing. Like, I'm a casual boxing fan. I just love this story of Tyson Fury. And the way that that guy got up last time when he got, pretty much everyone thought it was a knockout. He was down, the count was at 5 or 6, and he popped back up. That's really something. I really want to go with Fury. You know what? Screw it. Onsides. Tyson Fury's winning. He's going to win this fight. He's going to get the job done. I don't really believe that, but I'm just going with it. I don't care who wins this fight, but I just like that story from Tyson Fury. So I'm going to go with Tyson Fury in this one.
And then finally for me, there's a national day for everything, and I mean everything. Today is National Sticky Bun Day.
Overrated, the sticky
bun. Onside or offsides, the sticky bun deserves its own day to be celebrated.
Do you enjoy a sticky bun?
I have not had a sticky bun in so long because they're so caloric. I'm scared to take it inside of my body. They're good, but not worth the calorie intake you get. It's an overrated on that fact. For the calories, I'd rather have something else.
Yeah, if you ask me, because the sticky bun, you consider it a dessert, right?
Yes.
Some people may have it as breakfast.
That's true.
You know, you put a scoop of vanilla ice cream on the sticky bun,
ooh,
you got me in. But if I'm looking at dessert, maybe an Oreo cheesecake, maybe a brownie. How about a nice chocolate chip cookie, a homemade chocolate chip cookie? The sticky bun, to me, is very overrated. And a lot of times, people put too much frosting on the sticky bun. And they think it tastes so good, but it's really just fattening and disgusting and gross. So the sticky bun has its own holiday? That's ridiculous. I'm going offsides on this. It does not deserve its own holiday.
Offsides.
Or a day to be celebrated.
Same difference.
I'm sure you're going to have now people saying, he said it's a holiday? Let's advocate for everyone to get off so we could all eat sticky buns and get fat. The sticky bun. When I went skiing a few weeks ago, though, you want to talk about a good dessert. And I guess it was kind of a snack. I was skiing in Vermont in a chemo. And they have a waffle stand. They had a waffle, like a little miniature waffle. You could basically hold it in your hand. Not like a huge waffle. But a nice waffle with some chocolate on it was scrumptious. It was fantastic. Devoured the chocolate-covered waffle and then continued my trek down the mountain.
Yeah, the waffle really doesn't get enough credit for what its usefulness is. I mean, you can really use it in all different scenarios.
Chicken and waffles, ice
cream
and waffles.
Breakfast, lunch, dinner. It's really a versatile food. I don't think it gets enough credit. So good kudos by you with the waffle.
Yeah, sticky bun or a chocolate-covered waffle? Give me the chocolate-covered waffle all day. Sticky bun. I can't even remember the last time I had a sticky bun. Boring. Bad food item. All right, when we come back on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, Tua Tagovailoa, or Tua T, as people in the know do say, is he going to be a member of the Detroit Lions? At first I said, nah, but when I think about it more, it does make some sense. I'll tell you why when we return on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. It's easy. So this theory has been floated around. We talked about it earlier with Charles Davis. Could Tua Tagovailoa be drafted by the Detroit Lions as they sit there with the third overall pick in this upcoming draft? The third and fourth pick in the draft, to me, are really going to set the stage for this draft. If the Lions surprise us and take Tua, that affects and makes a big shakeup with what maybe a team like the Dolphins, the Panthers, or the Chargers may do. If the Lions don't take Tua, and let's say they really like someone in the draft, they take him at third, then the Giants are then the next team. Now, if the Lions don't take Tua at three, then the Giants are that next team at four. And the Giants aren't going to take Tua. They just drafted Daniel Jones, so they have an option to do. You know, they have a decision to make. Do you trade out of that pick and acquire a lot of assets, or do you take the best player available? Because one, I think it's going to be Burrow. Two, I believe it's going to be Chase Young. So three and four, what they're going to do, do they stick with what they want in their player? Do they maybe surprise and take a player like Tua or go with whatever the best non-quarterback is that is available? Or do you trade the pick? And if they don't, if the Lions take, you know, let's say a corner and the Giants take an offensive lineman or a wide receiver, then the Dolphins probably take Tua Tagovailoa with the fifth pick. But the Lions for Tua Tagovailoa, even though there's been rumors about Matthew Stafford possibly be traded and Bob Quinn says they're 100% falls, and he said that before, it doesn't necessarily mean that the Lions can't take Tua. Because right away when you hear the GM come out and say, it's 100% falls, you go, all right, they're not taking Tua. But when you think about it more, where the way that the money is, and this year the Lions basically can't move on from Matthew Stafford because the dead cap is 30-something million. But wouldn't it, if you don't think Matthew Stafford, and Matthew Stafford's a good quarterback, a very underappreciated quarterback, but is he your long-term answer? Do you think by the time now until when he's next to free agent, which is 2023, that you're going to win a Super Bowl with him? No, the answer's no. It's not Stafford's fault. It's that organization. They've been poorly run for many, many years. So you have to start thinking about the future. And Charles Davis makes a great point. If you take Tua, Bob Quinn is probably drafting that quarterback for the next general manager. Because Martha Ford isn't getting any younger. Little newsflash right there. And she expects this team to have some sort of improvement, some success this year. Hate to break it to you. This Lions team, I don't think, is going to be all that good this year. So if I'm looking at this, and I'm just trying to think about this, if you're trying to save your job and trying to make an argument that even if you have a bad year, maybe you stick around, maybe you take Tua. Matthew Stafford's coming off an injury. You let Stafford play this year. Hopefully he plays well. Maybe you go 7-9. Who knows? Maybe at best you go 8-8. But if Stafford plays well, he'll be attractive. Because I'll have 2 years left on that contract. And you could take a glance at it. And you could move on from him. While having Tua sit out an entire year. And then you hand the keys over to him for the 2021 season. And it's not about like releasing him because you look at the dead cap to the cap hit. It's 33-19. The other way, that's cap hit to dead cap. And then 26-6 in 2022, the second number, and then 2021 being the first number that I just read to you, I don't think it's a crazy idea. You pick two at number three, and then you play Stafford, and then at the end of this year, you look to trade Matthew Stafford. And I think that presents a decent long-term vision of something else. Because two would be a new identity, two would be new life, and then you could build the rest of your roster. But the other attractive thing to this, like when I just try to play it out and look at both sides, the other attractive thing in this scenario, though, if you are Bob Quinn and you're trying to save your job, is wouldn't you maybe try to trade that third overall pick? I think that's definitely on the table. Where, sure, I think that there is a possibility they take two and then eventually trade Stafford a year later, as we're talking about. But if you go on out there and if you have that third pick and let's say a team, I don't know, Carolina or the Chargers, one of these teams that needs their next franchise quarterback, with the Panthers probably moving on from Cam Newton and the Chargers already moving on for Phillip Rivers, if they see the only obstacle from them getting their franchise quarterback is the Miami Dolphins or the Miami Dolphins, if you're the Lions, then you could get a King's ransom back for that spot. We've seen it before. We've seen teams move up. The 49ers traded back a spot and let the Bears move up one spot to get Trubisky. Jared Goff. That number one pick was originally to Tennessee. Rams move up, they get Goff. The Eagles, when they selected Carson Wentz, the Eagles had to make two trades. They originally traded with the Dolphins where they got rid of and dumped Byron Maxwell and Kiko Alonso as they were part of that trade. And then a few weeks later, they traded with the Cleveland Browns. And you had that swap. So a lot of trades happen when there's a quarterback out there. The Chiefs traded up to get Mahomes. So that happens. It's all part of it. And the Texans even traded up to get Deshaun Watson. Because if you go back there, the Cleveland Browns actually passed up. See, this is why you gotta love the Browns. Yeah, or if you're a Browns fan, just be as frustrated as possible. The Cleveland Browns have passed up on Carson Wentz. They have passed up on Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. Those are three quarterbacks in recent memory that the Cleveland Browns have passed up on. Now they're hoping that Baker Mayfield gets it right. So when I look at this Lions situation, there's three options at play. You take Tua. You have Stafford. Stafford plays this year. You don't bring Tua back because of the dislocated hip. You don't want him to play this year. Have him sit out. Have him learn. And then you trade Stafford in the offseason. That's option one. Another option, just take the best player available. Or the third option, you trade back and you get a king's ransom for the quarterback. This draft, it's so intriguing to me. And each draft always is intriguing, but the wide receivers are so deep. You know, we asked Charles Davis about wide receivers. Everyone's talking about CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy and Jefferson from LSU. Davis didn't even mention those guys right away. He's talking about three other players. So it shows you the depth and the preference for these wide receivers. Then the quarterbacks, you're starting to hear some noise on the kid Love. D-Ben was telling me, you saw a mock draft where the Colts maybe were taking Love?
Number 13, seriously considering it, yeah.
How do you evaluate him, just wondering?
I've watched him, actually, this past season. The toughest thing about Jordan Love is that he was so much better 2 years ago than he was this past year. They had a coaching change. His receivers were bad. He lost his confidence. So when you watch him 2 years ago, he looks like a pro prospect. When you watch him this past year, he looks to me like a second or third round type player. I think 13 is crazy high. But just like we saw last year with Dave Gettleman and the Giants, if you love your guy and you're picking towards the top of the first, you got to take the guy.
And you don't need to go to the biggest school in the world in order to get selected. You
know,
Utah
Josh
State,
Allen.
Josh Allen, Wyoming, Carson Wentz, North Dakota State. We could do even, you know, Duke is not a football powerhouse, and Daniel Jones went in the top 10. UNC is not a football powerhouse. I know Mac Brown had a good year this year, but look what happened with Mitch Trubisky. He went second overall. And you don't need to have a dominant career to get drafted. And if like you look at Love this year, through 20 touchdowns and 17 interceptions, it's not always just a quarterback in that situation. And that year that you're talking about, 2018, 32 touchdowns, 6 interceptions.
And he had the swagger too, Zach. He looked like a potential franchise player, but he certainly didn't this past season.
Yeah. The more you say it and the more you think about it, and you try to think how many quarterbacks are going to go in the first round, you know Burrow's going probably one overall.
Yep.
You also know that Tua's going to be a first-round pick.
I would assume
that Herbert's going to go in the first round.
Absolutely.
So you have three quarterbacks right there. And then, you know, probably Love does go. And it's because here's what happens. If you're a team like the Chargers, the Panthers, or let's just say the Dolphins, and you don't get your guy, and another guy goes off the board, at around 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, you start to look to trade back in, where you don't have to give up as much. For example, like what the Ravens did to get Lamar Jackson. That worked out pretty well. So I think Love's going to go in the first round. I don't know if he's a first-round quarterback. I got to watch more of him. But you keep on hearing that name thrown out there, usually where there's smoke, there's fire.
And I think the biggest pressure point is, see, it's when teams show their hands. So I think the Chargers, by letting Philip walk out the door, have shown their hands that they are going to be extremely interested. They're going to pick a quarterback in the top 10, which now puts pressure on. We know the number one pick is very most likely going to be Joe Burrow, and now we know that most likely the Chargers will be taking quarterback also at 6. So that puts pressure on the Dolphins at 5, and that puts pressure on if your Panthers, your boy Matt Rhule wants to move up, or anyone else who wants one of the top 3 quarterbacks is going to have to either come up for the Lions pick at 3 or the Giants pick at 4, or somehow swap with the Dolphins to get ahead of the Chargers, because everyone now knows at number 6, the Chargers are coming for the second or third quarterback available.
So far in this draft, my two favorite things to throw out. Maybe Burrow making a play. Joe Brady making a play to get his quarterback and Burrow with the Panthers. I think the Burrow's going to go to the Bengals and the Tua thing. But the quarterbacks, that's what I love the most right now in terms of speculating that. And you never know what happens with the speculation in the NFL draft as well. Each and every year, you know, there's things that are surprises. There are things that shock us. Trubisky, the Bears trading up, the Daniel Jones pick. It's just all surprising each and every year. But those are some of the early impressions right now. It's heavy receiver. You know, Davis even said offensive line. It's even more, there's some better offensive linemen than in previous years, so it's going to be fascinating. I just saw, by the way, the Rangers beat the Hurricanes. You know how the Hurricanes do those celebrations at the end? Lemieux on the Rangers did like the little skull chant. Took a little shot at Carolina. I always love what Carolina did. Don Cherry couldn't stand it last year. Called them a bunch of jerks. Oh, please. Come on. They're having fun in hockey. What a joke. Tom in Colorado next up on CBS Sports Radio. Tom, what's happening?
Hey, Zach. Detroit needs to take whatever offer they can get out of that number 3 spot. We don't want Tua. He's hurt. And on top of that, he's an Alabama quarterback. When's the last time an Alabama quarterback did anything in the NFL? And if you have to go back to Namath, my point is made.
But does that mean that Tua can't have success just because Alabama quarterbacks don't have this great history of success? A year ago, everyone was saying Tua Tagovailoa is going to be the number one overall pick in the draft, and it wasn't even a conversation. But now all of a sudden, you know, because of the injuries, I understand the stock is going to fall, but you're not going to want him just simply because he's an Alabama quarterback?
Exactly.
I would not operate a team that way.
The injuries, the 3 injuries scare me.
That's fair.
If we can get trade down to somebody else's number 1 pick, maybe get their 2 pick this year, and maybe get a 2 pick or a 3, you know, a 2 and a 3 next year, Detroit has all sorts of holes that they need to fill.
Well, that's a fair argument that you make, Tom, and it's one that we made as well. If you want to trade down and get the most assets because your team needs a lot to get fixed, then that's a decision that I could live with. But to just say, I don't want Tua because Alabama doesn't have a great track record of quarterbacks, so what? Tua's different. He's completely different. The only concern I have with Tua is the injury. That's it. But remember, if Tua's stock does fall because of the injuries, you're getting a bargain. It's worth the risk at a certain point. At three, it may not be. At three, it may be. But if I'm the Lions, it's something you at least consider taking Tua, then having Stafford play this year, Tua sit out, then you trade Stafford, and you get something back for him. But I could totally understand the Lions fan argument of, let's trade out of it. Let's have a team jump up to get a quarterback, and then bam, away we go. We get 3, 4, 5 extra picks or whatever it is, or maybe get an extra first rounder or two. Nah, that's definitely on the table. That's fair. That's where you should argue. Don't argue that, oh, just because it's an Alabama quarterback, that means that he can never have success. I don't believe in that thinking. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We're going to ring the closing bell next.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Hey, this is Howie.
And this is Nick
from the Backstreet Boys. And you're listening to the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And guess what? Zach is back. All right.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show.
Poll question results time. Many stupid things have been said while explaining the Astros scandal. Which one do you laugh or roll your eyes at the most? 47.7% say the excuse Jose Altuve used on why he didn't rip off his jersey. 32.2% say Jim Crane saying that the cheating had no impact. Then 13.4% with the reports that the players were too starstruck of Carlos Beltran to speak up. And then that's at 13.4%. And then 6.7%, it's AJ Hinch saying he didn't like it, but still did nothing to stop it. So that's the poll tally results. Also come to my attention that I did not give the final results for the last 2 days of the polls. So who would you rather have as your commissioner? Roger Goodell, 82.5%. Rob Manfred, 17.5%. And should the NFL expand to a 17-game regular season schedule and add two playoff teams? 60.2% say no. 39.8% say yes. All right, let's ring the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Stock up number one goes to Trae Young. Had 50 points last night, 8 three-pointers in the Hawks 129-124 win over the Miami Heat. Stock up for the second-year player in Trae Young. Stock up number two. There's one name I may enjoy saying more than Tua Tagovailoa. It's Giannis Antetokounmpo. Or maybe Haleiwatovatai, but I don't know how to decide those differences. Giannis Antetokounmpo, though, last night, returning from the All-Star game, had 33 points and 16 boards. That's his fifth game of at least 30 points and 15 rebounds this season. The most by any player since Shaquille O'Neal in the 1999-2000 season when Shaq had 18. You expect Giannis to break that. Giannis about to win back-to-back MVPs. So a stock up to the Greek freak. Mikey B.
Stock up to Markieff Morris. It sounds like he's going to go to the LA Lakers, and I like that because get me Lakers Clippers Morris brothers in the playoffs versus each other. Maybe they could swap jerseys one night. Nobody would know. I guess you probably would know because Marcus is a little bit better. But stock up because Markieff Morris is going to the Lakers. And then another stock up to HBO and this Friends special that's coming. I know it was a little deceiving that maybe they were doing a reboot, but they're going to do a one-hour special where I'm sure they'll get into the show and the history of it. So stock up to one of the greatest shows in American history. Going to have a one-hour reuniting. It's going to be beautiful. Stock up.
So I'm supposed to care that they're going to be on television for an hour, like at a dais talking and having some fun. That's a big news story.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think so, but what do I know? All right, D-Ben, what do you got?
All right, stock up to Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy for turning down the job at his alma mater, Colorado. It seems like maybe it definitely is time for him to have a head coaching job. However, he's in a great spot. His quarterback is the most talented football player on the planet Earth.
And he's going to stay in demand because that offense is going to stay great, and he will have more head coaching opportunities, better head coaching opportunities a year from now.
If he doesn't get a head coaching job next year in the National Football League, something's wrong. It's the right move not to take the college job because you're right. You would imagine he would get one next year, but you never know.
And stock up to Star Wars Clone Wars. I don't know how big a Star Wars fans you guys are.
This series is like Friends.
It's so much better than Friends, though. This series might be the best Star Wars content they've ever made. It went away because of a bunch of weirdness. Anyway, it's back on Disney Plus. The first episode has dropped. If you're a Star Wars fan at all, you have to go check out the Star Wars Clone Wars. Start from the beginning. It is worth it. Please do it.
When we go to stock downs, I have to go to Russell Westbrook. He got ejected last night. Whatever, he got ejected. But he elbowed someone. It wasn't the worst elbow in the world on Lee. And then he bumped Looney and then made it seem as like Looney was going after him when they got tangled up. And then after the game, he goes, oh, everyone's out to get me. The media, the fans, and the referees. No, just like don't be a jerk all the time. And like I like you, Russ. You know, you're an entertaining player. But last night you lost your cool, and that's why you got ejected. Not everyone's out to get you, so stock down to Russell Westbrook. Also, we sometimes take sports very seriously, and I understand I've been losing my mind in this Astros scandal, but if you're sending death threats to Josh Reddick, you're the scum of the earth, and then if you're wishing that his kids will get cancer, you are the biggest scum on the earth. And the same for Mike Fiers, who made this story a huge deal by saying when I was on the Astros, this and that happened. If anyone is sending death threats to Mike Fiers, get a life. You know, go out and help an old lady cross the street. You know, go donate clothes to charity. Go donate some money to charity and be better human beings. The fact that people are sending death threats to any former Astros players or current Astros players, get a life. Big stock down to those scums.
You idiots! Get back in there at once and sell! Sell!
Stock down to Al Horford in the Philadelphia 76ers. This signing in the offseason could not have been any worse. The guy doesn't even play down the stretch. They had to take him out versus the Nets because they were pick and rolling him to death. Some guy named Alex Burks played instead of him. Give me a break.
And played well.
Al Horford, you make so much money, you can't even be in there for the Sixers, so that marriage looks like a disaster. Stock down to Horford and the 76ers. And then finally, stock down to NJ Transit. I was high on them a few weeks ago, but on Wednesday, when I tried to make my 10:40 train, I sprinted a quarter mile to get there at 10:40. I run out the door. I see the bus. I lock eyes with the driver. He's driving, doesn't stop for me, goes. I had to wait till the 11:10 train. Stock down.
You idiot! Get back in there at once and sell, sell!
Conspiracy theory. Now you're doing Uber Eats this weekend with Frank the Tank, who became famous for saying NJ Transit's the worst. I bet you the only reason you got that interview with Frank the Tank is because now you have to come on this airwaves and trash NJ Transit because he heard you praising them a few weeks back. I'm on to you, Mikey P.
I'm pulling a Houston Astros. No comments, or it's your fault.
And you're lying, probably, too.
Yes, it's all you.
D-Ben, go.
I think we did warn him, too, when he did that a couple weeks ago. We said, just give it time, and you'll turn it around on all
bad
this.
Job
all public transportation eventually gets to a very bad spot.
So, stock down to Boogie Cousins. We talked about him last night as potentially coming back for the Lakers for the playoff push. That will not be happening because he's being released by the Lakers. What a year and a half he's been. Remember when he joined the Warriors at the beginning of last season, whatever, everyone thought that was going to be the piece that made them officially unstoppable. So I wonder what's next for him, but stock down to poor Boogie. And then finally, there was another Rex Chapman video. We were talking about the Moose video earlier. Another one today was a viral video of a man eating spaghetti with scissors.
Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah,
no,
way
awesome.
Too much praise for this. Stock down. Have a little bit of self-respect. You don't eat pasta with scissors.
No!
Don't be an animal. The fork is enough of a tool.
Stop!
You don't need a second tool. You don't need a spoon.
Yes, you do.
You don't need any other tools to eat pasta, any form of pasta, please.
You need more time.
Idiot! Get back in there at once and sell!
Time out! No, that's genius! Because when you start to...
Genius.
When you start to spin the pasta onto your fork, it gets impossible, especially when it blends with the cheese. It gets all stringy. You're getting tomato sauce on your shirt. It's an absolute mess. You take some scissors, and you get the perfect cut for the perfect bite. I loved it!
Do not use scissors.
It was genius!
On your pasta.
I'm going to go to an Italian restaurant with scissors.
No.
That's what I'm going to do.
Can I have some scissors, please?
have a machete too. Room, room, just to cut my like spaghetti and meatballs. Awesome, love it. Fun show today, Mikey B, D-Ben. Great to have the band back together. Been a very fun week. And it's also, like, thank each and every one of you for calling, listening, and tweeting as well. Big thanks, Julian Acquire, for joining us. Ray Boom Boom Mancini as well, in addition to Charles Davis. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back on Monday. Mike Ruzioni is going to join us. Can't wait for that one, as it's the 40th anniversary of that big victory, Miracle on Ice, in 1980. All right, I'm Zach Gelb. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye. Peace.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.